Greetings, my dear brothers and sisters. See if I can get this a little louder, Simon. But anyhow, it's good to be here this morning again with our church family. And God has been good, as Norman mentioned. Even in all these situations, these disasters and stuff like that, God has a plan. I don't think he wants anybody to commit suicide, if I say it right. But it seems like people do not handle it in the way he would like to see it handled. I mean, I don't know just what God's plan is. But I know he has a plan for you and I and all of us to be saved through the name of Jesus and to enjoy heaven throughout all eternity. Last week, two young 17-year-old youth were called home to glory as well. On their way to Louisiana to help clean up in that disaster. Young people, and old like I am, we travel on a day at a time. We're on a journey. And God help us to walk with him. He is our Savior and Lord. He is our hope. The Lord is my portion. And heritage. That's not the word I want. But anyhow. And therefore I will hope in him. Our hope and our trust in God, if we, like the Proverbs writer says, I think it's in chapter 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, my path. Reading a little story of in Christian Example, the title was "The Test." How many of you have read that? How many of you get that example? The things that this boy wanted was something that was not bringing peace and joy to his life. Was not he had his big truck in mind, and that's all he could think of. And he didn't realize that that truck was not bringing joy and peace and kindness and all those names. Those are fruit of the Spirit, but I'm not sure what's. I think the conclusion was the last one, maybe. He got to the point where he was thinking a little differently. And so if there's anything in our lives like that, oh, may the Lord help us, as well as this Mary and these youth that were faithful, that were taken home to glory because of a bad accident on their way to helping others.
How should I say? It's of God. And I marvel at the timing that God has set for those situations. It's just amazing. One split second or a couple seconds would have changed it, and they wouldn't have had an accident. So we don't understand what God is really doing, but it's. But in Psalms 18, and I think you've heard me mention this, I like that verse. In Psalms 18, and I'm not sure what exactly the verse, but it says, as for God, his way is perfect. Can we surrender our will and just say, God, your holy will be done? As for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tried. And it is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Do we really trust in him? Or are we looking to the things of the world? You know, we're on a journey. And we don't know how many days. Yes, we visited with Brother Oscar Friday afternoon. He still talks, but it's very slow. And he starts saying something, and then he says, "Uncle Irvin, my mind is just leaving me." It's hard on him and his wife and the family as well. And yet I am so blessed with his outlook for the future in leaving this sinful world and going home to be with the Lord, with his Lord that saved him. And I appreciated last Sunday the message that Brother Norman preached on the fear of God, on the holy fear of God. And the I don't know what all he preached, and I don't want to overlap with him, but my thoughts just went to all these people that we have had visitation with after they were laying in state, and there's many more that we don't ever find out. But are you ready for that final day? May God help us to realize, you know, like someone said recently, we were talking about this, and he said, well, we need to plan to live for, be 100 years old, but die today, if the Lord chooses, ready to go home. And that is home, our eternal home, our home where Jesus is. And it's really encouraging, the assurance of immortality, the assurance that God gives us through the Apostle Paul and through Jesus himself, where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Isn't that a blessed, blessed encouragement and assurance of immortality? Assurance that he will take us home if we're his children. He goes on there, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so Thomas, one of his disciples, says, "Well, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And then those wonderful, blessed words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so that's what we have. And then the Apostle Paul, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for most of the message will be coming out of this this chapter. But the knowledge that we have of Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus, the knowledge that we have of his saving power, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, guiding us and directing us on our journey, that we can take the right way and not, read the bulletin this after for today. I usually don't take time to read it when I come in. This morning was a little extra, I guess. But anyhow, making U-turns. The Lord allows that. And if there's anyone here that needs to make a U-turn and turn around and go 100% for the Lord, just do it. Just do it. So here the Apostle Paul says, "For we know." Now, all those that have passed, and I suppose there's, I didn't count them, but in the past year, there's so many people, cousins and friends that have passed on. But I believe from what I, as I know them, they were ready to take that step. But Paul says, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle, if our house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now that's beyond our mind to think really how that's going to be. But we know it's going to be. And that is the assurance that we have. And there's many other. Peter writes about that. And Jesus himself talks about the end times and how they will come. And there's things that he talked about in Matthew 24 that make us, give us the idea that, the track or the road that our nation is taking is due for judgment. And recently talking to another person, just one along the way, Louise says, "I don't have to talk to everybody, but I love to." And so we talk about the Lord. And are you ready? Do you have that confidence that you are able to take that step? And, well, he hopes so. Well, it takes a little more than hope. But then again, here we go down on this chapter here. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So if we're really desiring that, we're seeking that. And it's through death that we go. And death is the last, that to be had? What, can somebody fill me in on that? The last enemy. Yeah, to be destroyed. So, do we fear death? Psalms 24:23 says, "And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Can we feel that way? The older I get, the more I feel just simply, "Lord, here I am." And that's why I'm still here. It's because the Lord said, you know, go ahead and preach the gospel. But the death of the righteous, the Apostle Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Won't it be wonderful there? Gain, it is gain. And so we need not fear. We need not fear death. For in this we groan. It's just, I think of Oscar laying there on his recliner, always covered with a blanket. He always gets cold. His body's just not servicing him, you know, because he is fighting cancer for 3+ years, I guess. But he's to where he's thinking of death, yeah. But he's seeking death. He's ready to go. And I hope all of us are ready to go if the Lord chooses to take us home today. Loving the Lord. Oh, how he loves us. And so, if so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We shall have that robe of righteousness. I think the Apostle Paul is referring to that robe of righteousness that we have. We won't be naked. We'll be clothed. with that robe of righteousness, longing to go home to meet our Savior. And of course, we all have our bodily infirmities, and you know, our struggles and so on. But we won't have those problems in heaven. And so we go on in verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle, he uses this the word tabernacle now. The Living Bible says, for we know that if our earthly tent is dissolved or destroyed. But here he says, for we are that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. That song means a lot to us. And many times when we've been with the Morningside youth singing, why someone would request to sing that song, Victory in Jesus. So the mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us is the earnest, it's our expectation, and it keeps us. The earnest money is paid. Christ paid the price to redeem us and to bring us to him. And so, verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And that is very true. That's our mind can handle that one. But some of these are just, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see these things. We can in our mind, we can imagine, but we cannot see, but we know, and we trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, again I say, with all your heart. And verse 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Come unto me, as our brother mentioned. I appreciated his devotional. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Maybe I'm not quite finishing all that by heart. But laboring, whether present or absent, let's be the servants of God, and let's share the love of God with those we meet, and encourage people to make U-turns if they're not walking with the Lord, to turn around and go toward the Lord. He's just waiting. It's like my black friend said years ago. He said, If you aren't walking with the Lord, he's out there looking for you. All you need to do is turn to him. And so, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. There again, we can look at our lives. Are all our sins under the blood? Are we ready to take that step? Because we will come before the face to face with God, like the song we sang this morning. Face to face. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. This is Paul speaking to me as a minister and sharing his writings and encouragements that we would take heed to these things, whether we're young or old, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. May our hearts be open toward God at all times, so where he can show himself strong on our behalf and take care of us, help us to defeat the devil, that we would say no to the devil, the world, and our own flesh and blood. That's what it takes. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. For the love of Christ constraineth us, really. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so I just look up to the last couple of verses there in chapter 4. In verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." So that's where we want to go. Do we want to spend eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 16 again in chapter 5. "Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new." "And all things are of God." There again, we refer back to that perfect God, that all his ways are perfect. "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We are reconciled to God. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Reconciled to God. And now then are we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the holy of heaven, the holy city, because we are servants of God. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin." Notice this verse here, what he has done for us. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The righteousness of God. Well, we have Christ speaking to us concerning the Pharisees, which were self-righteous. And God forbid that we are self-righteous, but that we would be righteous, have the righteousness of God. We have none, no righteousness of our own, but he will give us his righteousness as he said, we have made him to be sin for us who know no sin. He didn't know any sin. He never sinned. And that's his perfect example for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if we sinned, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we live in that state of righteousness. And day by day, glorify our God. Let us realize that we are here today, but maybe gone tomorrow. Our house, again I say, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building in heaven. We have a building of God. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now we live in a house, but when someone dies, he lays here in a casket, he or she. They're not there anymore. They have been transported to glory, to heaven, or to hell. There's only two destinies. And so, a house eternal in the heavens. In closing, I want to just read a poem that I picked up somewhere years ago. It was written by Mrs. E.E. Troyer. I don't know her, but I'm blessed with the vision she has and the poem that she wrote. A house eternal in the heavens. You think that I am getting old, but that's not really so. Now, I get that phrase said, well, Irvin, you're getting older. Well, yeah, I am every day. But I'm happy in the Lord, too. And I can go forth. So, you think I'm getting older? That's not really true. For this house that I live in may be worn, but that, of course, I know. You know, my joints are wearing out, and I put new ones in. Well, the doctors do, if I ask them to. It's been in use a good long while and weathered many a gale. I'm therefore not surprised to find it's getting somewhat frail. You think that I am getting old? You mix my house with me. You're looking at the outside. That's all that most folks see. The dweller in this little house is young and bright and gay, just starting in a life that lasts through long eternal day. The wall may be a bit transparent and the getting rather thin, the color changing on the roof and the windows getting dim. The foundation's not as steady as once they used to be. Now this is all that you observed, but it's not really me. So I'll patch this old house up a bit, make it last till night. For soon I shall be resting in my home of endless light. I'm going to live forever. There a life goes that's grand. How can you say I'm getting old? You do not understand. These few short years can't make me old. I feel I'm in my youth. Eternity lies just ahead, full of life, joy, and truth. We must not fret to see this house grow shabby day by day, but look ahead to our new home, which never will decay. I want to be made fit to dwell in that blessed home above, cleansed in the precious blood of Christ and growing still in love. The beauty of that glorious home, no words can ever say. It's hidden from the mortal eye, but kept for us someday. Now my house I'm getting ready for the land beyond the sky. Its architect and builder is my Savior now on high. But I rather think he's leaving the furnishings to me, so its treasures up in heaven I must store each day, you see. Then I'll labor for my master, and happy I shall be for the house that's up in heaven and my kind master to see. That's we get the idea. You know, yeah, we're getting old. And in the obituary of Brother John Miller, the other Sunday, two Sundays ago, we were there, they had written on his obituary, "Think of stepping on shore and finding it's heaven. Of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial air. Of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Of passing from a storm and tempest to an unknown calm. Of waking up and finding it home." Won't that be gloryful? Praise God. Be in glory. So we're looking, some of us are looking a little more for that. Others may not quite understand how we can feel the way we do, but it's because of Jesus that we can move on to a better place. And so may the Lord bless you. May we continue to think on that eternal home. Whether we're young or old, let's think about heaven and give our lives to the Lord Jesus that he can take us there when he's through with us here. Let's kneel for prayer.